The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At the sight of the crowds, Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon from Cana, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, make this proclamation, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord. Morning to everybody. Happy Father's Day to you, if you happen to be a father. So this morning, this is just a little notification. This morning I'm preaching to all the men in the church, so the women, you can tune into Bishop Barron and see what he has to say, or some other favorite preacher, but just, you know, forewarning. As I was thinking about what it means to be a father, my imagination went to a very unlikely source. How many of you have seen the movie? I'm sure everyone's seen it. The movie The Lion King, right? I'm not generally a huge fan of Disney, but upon reflection, I think The Lion King really got something right. Because it was a story. It's basically a growing into manhood story. That's essentially what it is. It takes the form of lions, but it was the story of somebody making their life journey and growing into the manhood that they were called to, or if you want, the Lion King hood that he was called to. And what happens? You have somebody who is a great father figure, Mufasa. And doesn't every father want to secretly somewhere in us have the voice of James Earl Jones? Wouldn't we all like to be able to talk like that? Can you imagine answering the phone?
"Good morning."
That's just your habitual speaking voice. So he's got this good, noble, wise, strong father who gets betrayed to his death. And what happens is the little kid, I don't even remember his name, runs away, teams up with, you know, a pig and some little weasel-looking thing. And they essentially live the Homer Simpson, the Lion King version of a Homer Simpson life. They're just kind of goofing off and being slobs. And this is frankly an attraction for a lot of us. There's a strong element in our society that is preaching, okay, live the Homer Simpson lifestyle, you know, have your man cave, aspire to, you know, sitting in front of the TV and watching sports and drinking beer and being the eternal adolescent. And if we're not careful, we can very easily, you know, fall into that to greater or lesser extent. And what happens is, we will never be happy. We will never be the men that we are called to be, and we will never be fulfilled. We will never be happy. We'll never leave the mark in society that we are called to leave. In the movie The Lion King, what happens is things turn around when the kid is forced to look at himself and look deeply within himself and remember who he is called to be. There was that scene when Mufasa appears to him, where he looks into the water and he sees the vision of his father saying, "Remember who you are. Remember me. Remember who your father is. and you will remember your own identity. And that is where Disney got it really right. As men, we are called to remember, where did we come from? Remember who our Father is, and we will remember who we are meant to be. Each of us, each person in this church is made in the image and likeness of God, but when we become married and become fathers, we take on in a very special way, a vocation to live kind of the continuation of God the Father's own vocation. We are called to be extensions of God the Father and everything that signifies, his wisdom, his benevolence, his strength, his capacity for sacrifice, everything, all of the attributes that God the Father has, this is what is in our DNA as men. And if we look deeply inside ourselves, not just to the surface level, the surface level temptations, which is the Homer Simpson level of existence. If we look deeper and we say, what are the deep aspirations that we have in our hearts as men? You will find your vocation. You'll find your calling. You know, actually, I think for all that Hollywood gets bashed and for all that social, the media, the network, the commercials get bashed, a lot of those people have a very clear idea of what human nature really is. Why is it that we aspire to superhero movies or Rocky Balboa or any of these kind of heroic figures? Because they speak to something that is planted deep in our heart, a calling to sacrifice everything for a cause that is greater than us to bring about an ultimate good. That's something deeply grounded in our DNA. So following the wisdom of the Lion King then, for the kid, Simba, that's his name, for Simba, in order to discover, okay, who am I called to be? How do I get turned around? It was to look at his father. What does that mean for you and me? Well, if you and I never have any contact with God our Father, then we're not going to be able to do that. So the first thing, if we want to truly dig into our identity as men and as fathers, the first thing we have to do is be men who pray. We have to put ourselves into contact with the God who is our Father. We have to be men who pray every day. If you're trying to live up to an image of somebody that you don't even know, who knows what you'll come up with, right? But if we want to truly live up to the image of God the Father that is in our DNA, then we need to be in touch with him. And the beauty is, when we are in touch with God, when we are men who pray regularly, God does the work. Kind of subconsciously, he starts to form our hearts. He starts to form our souls. And things that are buried deep inside us start to wake up. And virtues begin to get inflamed. And we start to feel good. It's kind of like doing exercise. At the beginning, it's hard. And then you start to, but after a while, it's like, hey, I feel a lot better. I wish I would have done this a long time ago. We start to feel good because we are growing into the men that we are called to be. And when that happens, the second thing is going to be this. And this is kind of the kicker, because a lot of us, it's like, oh man, I'm never going to do that. That feels weird. The Father is called to be not only a man who prays, but the Father is called to be the person who leads his family in prayer. In the Old Testament, if you look at, before they were official priests, the first sign of like professional priests in the Bible was after Moses came down, after the Israelites had already fallen and messed up and Moses broke the stone tablets, and God said, okay, fine. Dads, you're not living up to your vocation, so I'm going to give you professional priests. And he did, from the tribe of Aaron and everything. But before that, the father of the family was called to be the priest of the family. You'll see them doing things like leading in prayers and saying, in this family, we worship the one God, and then they'll offer up a sacrifice. He's doing a priestly role. Every father of a family is called to lead his family in the faith, to teach his family the faith. to pray with the family. There's a statistic which I've cited, and I will repeat because it's always good to remind people. There was a survey that was done in the early 2000s, and I don't really remember the numbers. I really have to find the proper numbers, but I'll give you a rough idea. It was in one of these Scandinavian countries which aren't too religious anyway, so it was a little bit depressing, but it was like, okay, in a family where father and mother both go to religious services, probably Lutheran, quote-unquote, mass, whatever they call it, every Sunday, let's say if mom and dad both go to religious services, say like 60% chance that their kids will grow up going to religious services on their own. And if it was only mom going, it dropped precipitously down to like, you know, 18% or something like that. Just boom. The strange thing was, if only dad goes and mom doesn't, it actually jumped up slightly. So let's pretend it was 60%. It went to like 62 or 63%. And then if neither parent goes, you can imagine it was practically zero. It's like, what is that saying? What that's saying is that when a father takes the mantle of leadership in the faith, which we are grounded, it's in our DNA again. It's not to say moms aren't important. Of course, they're critically important. There's a whole gamut of things that only moms can provide. But when a father takes on that mantle of simply living the faith, not being a dictator, just simply living the faith and leading in the faith, he has a power to him to affect his family around us. So on this Father's Day, that's going to be my invitation. Just two simple things. First of all, let's challenge ourselves. How much do I pray? What does my prayer life look like? Is it an everyday thing? And if it is, what does it consist of? You know, it's not the same to say I'm going to pray a rosary every day as it is just to get out of bed and say, "Hi God, please bless me. I got to go." You know, they're both prayer, but there's a difference. What does my prayer look like? And secondly, do I lead my family in prayer in any way? Or do I lead my family in the faith? If we want to be men who truly live our fatherhood the way we are called to, then we have to look to the God and Father after whom we are patterned. We have to put ourselves in contact with him. And then we will have the peace of knowing that he'll take charge and he'll do the rest. In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.